And it's okay to raise your hand and ask for help. I can't tell you how many times I say that. It's okay to admit, I need some help. And that's something what sometimes we're conditioned to say, I can power my way through it.
Yes.
It's certainly true in your profession as engineers, where you say, I can do this. I've got my master's degree. I've got my advanced training. I'm going to find a way to get this done.
Yeah.
I think it takes greater courage and greater confidence to actually raise your hand and say, I need some help with this.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. I want you to imagine if you had a small note with only 5 words on it to carry with you in your wallet for the next 30 plus years as motivation for life, what would it say? How deeply do you struggle with self-doubt? And what training have you received as an engineer in how to hire well, but also how to fire well? And how about training in sales? Well, no matter how you answered those questions, I'm going to do my best to sell you on listening to this entire episode where we're going to dig into this and more with former Senior Vice President of Sales at Wiley Publishing, who printed most of the books that got me through engineering school, and one of the most sincere leaders and coaches you will ever meet, Dean Carroll. Dean will help you get outside of your engineering department lens today. He brings tons of value for leaders at every stage of their career, from brand new out of college all the way up to the C-suite. And he brings his recommended book list at the finish line. Don't miss this. You may have heard me say this before, but just in case you missed it, I have a special offer for you. If you are an engineer and you want to accelerate your career growth while balancing your life outside the office, let's connect so our team at Awaco can help you overcome the barriers and blocks you are facing today. I'd like to invite you as my friend to request a career clarity call, followed by a free one-on-one coaching deep dive with our client success team. We work exclusively with engineers just like you and have helped hundreds of engineering leaders reach their goals. Schedule a quick call now by visiting careerclaritycall.com. Again, that URL is careerclaritycall.com. It's free, and I promise it will be incredibly valuable. We look forward to talking with you soon. Welcome back, engineers. It's awesome to be with you. And I'm here with my good friend, Dean Carroll. And Dean is a career development coach, sales trainer, instructor of 13 courses with over 850,000 views. Those are available on LinkedIn Learning. Go check those out. And Dean's been in senior leadership positions for more than 3 decades. I won't tell you how old I am, but that's pretty impressive, with major global publishing companies, including 22 years at Wiley, where he was Senior Vice President of Sales. He's the author of Mastering the Basics, Simple Lessons for Achieving Success in Business. I've got my copy in my hand right here, and I can tell you from going through this, it's a fantastic book. Every engineer listening needs to get a copy of Mastering the Basics. Dean, thank you so much for making time to be with us today.
You bet, Zach. It's great to be with you. And you know, for the engineers, I'm working at Wiley. What a great engineering publishing company that is. And so I'm familiar with engineers and the topic. And so again, it's great to be with you today, Zach.
Absolutely. Hey, Wiley has a significant presence on my bookshelf, that's for sure. So Dean, one of the things I would love to start with jumping in today, you have Dean's philosophy right at the front of your book. And I love it because simplicity is one of my core values. And this idea of focusing on simple principles and values as a way to live and to achieve success. And one of them in particular stood out to me. It's number 4 on your list, and it's send thank you notes. And if my mom hears this episode, she's going to say, son, I told you this a long time ago. She's going to be so thrilled. Send thank you notes. It feels kind of old school. It's so simple. But like, just tell me, Dean, you've been doing this for 30 plus years. Why send thank you notes? How did that get on the list?
You know what it is? It is a real simple thing, and it is old school. But I've got to tell you, you know, through the years, I've sent thank you notes to everybody, or I send a follow-up note to everybody. And the impression that it makes, because a lot of people don't do it, and it is always remembered. And you reach out to somebody, say, hey, thanks, Zach, for letting me appear on your podcast today, or thanks, Dean, for reaching out and sending me a book. It's amazing how it stands out, and you're being sincere. And all it takes is a stamp and a little letter and the old-fashioned way. And through the years, I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, Dean, I still have your note you sent to me 30-plus years ago or 20 years ago or whatever. It's a positive impression that's very simple to do.
I love the sincerity comment of that. And Dean, you're one of the most sincere guys I've ever met and talked to. And it comes through in the way you communicate. So on this point, an engineer listening, all right, Dean, I'll send a thank you note. Is it a handwritten thing? Is it an email? How do you execute that in this digital age we live in today?
Well, I think, you know, in the old days, it was a stamp and a letter. And I still do that occasionally. But even the simplest form is to send an email. And it's just a two-line note saying, hey, thanks so much, Zach, for letting me be here today. Or thanks, Joe or Sally, for letting me participate in your event. Or thank you for the good work. It is recognizing somebody's for the actions that they've done and showing your appreciation. And again, that's not rocket science. It's not, you don't need an MBA for that or an advanced degree from Michigan to understand that. And it's just showing sincerity. So I still send personal letters by mail, the old fashioned way, but I also do email too. It's whatever form works best for you.
So let's zoom out. We're in this micro slice of success and sending thank you notes. And if somebody who doesn't know you and your background and all of the amazing accomplishments, they might say like, wow, this is the golden nugget. But tell me, Dean, when you really think about success over the arc of your 30 years, making it to the senior vice president level, coaching thousands of leaders around the world, what is it about these small moments, things like a thank you note? How does that impact someone on the long arc of big success? It feels like such a small thing. Just kind of tell us more about the mindset of success that you have.
Well, I think these are things we learn throughout our career. And maybe early on, we have these grandiose plans, so we have to do this and that or reach to higher levels than maybe that we're capable of. And I believe it's recognizing that enhancing the skills that we all have and how we can do things better. And believing in our abilities. And I feel that's so critically important. So when you look at the idea of success, and I think this is a good year to look at it, where we all had a chance to reevaluate what success really means to all of us. You know, we all went through the issues of the past year. Well, how do we focus on what really matters? So to the priorities of our life, our families, our religion, wealth, or whatever it might be. And it is focusing on that. It's success for us personally, which is different for everybody.
So for the engineer listening to this, we're recording it in May of 2021, coming off of 12 plus months of an incredibly disruptive time in the world with COVID. And so you made a statement in there, though, Dean, believing in my abilities.
Yeah.
What is the journey to increasing your own belief in yourself, this idea of confidence? You know, a lot of engineers I talk to and coach really struggle with confidence. And from the sales perspective, I mean, you can't succeed in sales without that belief. So just tell us, so what is that journey to confidence like for the engineer listening?
I think it's very important to realize that when we say that people are confident or they have beliefs in their abilities, it's never that way 100% of the time. People often say, "Hey, Dean, you're very confident. You seem very self-assured." But life is a roller coaster of ups and downs. Whether you're an engineer, whether you're in marketing, whether you're in finance, where some days are really terrific, and other days aren't. And when I say believing in your abilities, it's stepping back and saying to yourself, what can I accomplish? And what are the goals and objectives that I have? Not worrying about the other person or what this other person has done or how successful that other person's career may be or how much money they're making. It's focusing on yourself. I didn't learn that at 25. At 25, I was trying to act like this person or be like that person. And then I realized at the end of the day, I just need to be myself and work on the abilities and skills that I have and enhance them. That takes time to develop. And it's also, again, recognizing that you're going to have some days when you're really confident, everything's going well, but you're also going to have some days when, ooh, this is a tough job. Again, I don't care what profession you're in.
Dean, you're so polished and excellent at what you do. It's hard for me to imagine Dean on a not confident day. Take us back. What's one of those stories or moments during your career where you were at the bottom end of your own personal spectrum when it comes to confidence?
Well, I wasn't planning on this question, but it's sort of interesting. I have my wallet with me. So I'm going to share with you I graduated from college. I thought I was going to be a sports broadcaster. I went to school in Ohio. I was the voice of Ohio Wesleyan battling bishops, you know, the 2200 enrollment school. And I was the voice of football and basketball. I thought I was going to be broadcasting. And then I realized that there are 10,000 people who are a lot better than me. I get a job in the publishing industry as a salesperson. I get a territory in upstate New York. I had never heard of lake effect snow. You know, you're from Michigan. You went to Michigan where you've heard of lake effect snow. I grew up in Connecticut, never heard of it. It's snowing like crazy. I don't know where my future is going. And I wrote down a little note. So this is actually something I keep in my wallet. And I've had it there for all of these years. And it says, remember this date. Wasn't too good. Come on, Dean, make it. So this is when I was 23 years old. And this has been in my wallet all of these years. And every once in a while, I referred to it in my 30s, I've referred to it every once in a while in my 40s. As you know, I changed my career 6 years ago. I had a great job, senior vice president of sales of a big company. I said, I want to do something different. Well, I had a few moments where I said to myself, what the heck did I just do? I referred to that note. And it's a real genuine and authentic way to saying to people that, yes, I'm pretty happy with myself. But that means I still have moments of self-doubt, and I wonder what my next steps are going to be. And so it's showing to yourself that you can come around and go back in the right direction again.
That's an amazing thing to keep in your pocket. I mean, come on, Dean, make it.
Yeah.
I think that's such a simple and powerful phrase. I know the engineer listening to this can relate to those moments of self-doubt. And I can relate. Dean, you'll appreciate this moment in my journey when I also left a really successful career and a growing career at Whirlpool Corporation to start Oaco and begin coaching engineers and do this work full-time. Mm-hmm. There was a time at the beginning of this journey where success was not happening at the pace, you know, my perfect engineered straight line growth plan was designed to work out. And I caught myself one evening in a really, just a low place of uncertainty where someone had joined one of my coaching programs, but then had an awareness of their finances and said, oh, no, this isn't going to work. And they asked for a refund. And I was so discouraged because I had to refund their money. And sales were precious at the time. Like every client really mattered. And it was 11:30 p.m. I was sitting on the laptop on my couch at home. Mm-hmm. Poking away on LinkedIn, messaging as many people as I could about what I was doing and asking if they needed any help with their engineering careers. And in that moment, that wave of self-doubt and what am I thinking? This is a horrible decision to leave my company. Right. And I think at one point in my mind, I had a vision of myself becoming like a UPS truck driver on the third shift. Like that's how bad.
On the overnight.
Everything falling apart and just in a really low place. And a lot of people would look at that and say, whoa, that's crazy. It's very emotional or that's not the Zach that I've coached with and met. Like, where's the confidence? But those moments happen. And so I just appreciate you sharing that. Dean, if somebody's experiencing that right now, what advice would you have for them if they're feeling that uncertainty? Maybe they took a promotion, they're feeling like an imposter. Maybe they changed industries and They went from being an expert to being the rookie again.
Right.
Like, what's the first thing you would encourage them to do from that place?
You know, what's interesting is in my coaching work now, I probably hear that from everybody. And I think it's okay to admit that you have some self-doubt. You wonder if you're the right person for that job. I don't care whether you're an entry-level engineer or the CEO of Whirlpool. If you start a new job, you're going to have self-doubt. And within that first 30 days, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to have that one day where it's like, oh my gosh, why did I even take this job? I was fine where I was. It takes 30 days to get used to a new job, 90 days really to get settled in, and 6 months to really get your sea legs. And it's okay to raise your hand and ask for help. I can't tell you how many times I say that. It's okay to admit, I need some help. And that's something what sometimes we're conditioned to say, I can power my way through it.
Yes.
Especially certain professions. And from what I'm understanding, it's certainly true in your profession as engineers, where you say, I can do this. I've got my master's degree. I've got my advanced training. I'm going to find a way to get this done.
Yeah.
I think it takes greater courage and greater confidence to actually raise your hand and say, I need some help with this. And it's also very important to say when you're really feeling overwhelmed, you know, this was self-therapy for me, you know, years ago to write a note. What I really needed was professional help. It's okay to ask for professional help. And there's no stigma involved with it. In my era, there probably was. So my therapy was writing a little note, but it is okay to ask for professional assistance. And we should be doing those things and admitting those things.
The timeline you just described, Dean, I just want to come back to that quickly because I hear a lot from engineers that, hey, this first 90 days, right, I should be the expert and right, everything humming and execute my full strategy and make all these changes. And people get very ambitious about how quickly they ought to be able to fill in the blank, their vision of their impact. And I just heard you say it really takes 6 months just to get your sea legs and get really comfortable. I know that's one of the chapters in your, or a section in your book. I remember that, you know, it takes 6 months to get really comfortable. You know, why is it that we believe it can happen so fast, but the truth is the opposite?
You know what it is? I think we're all so energized to start something new. And we jump right in. We're ready to go. We're ready to run. You know, it's that old line. It's not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
It's a marathon.
You know, it's a little corny, but there's truth to that. And that's why I'm a big believer in timelines, datelines, objectives for certain periods of time. You can't solve a complex issue, a complex problem overnight. You have to develop a timeline. Again, that's certainly something you discuss in your industry is as engineers, is how you go from point A to point B with a timeline and a project plan for getting things accomplished. That's true for all professions, for sales and marketing, IT and finance. And I believe that's how you keep yourself focused in a timeline of saying, how am I going to get something done this week? Again, from sales point of view, from my background is I don't think farther out than 18 months. Because it's like a fiscal year of 12 months, and then you go into the next year of 6 months. I'm not worried about long-term five-year plans. That's somebody else's job. How do I get through the month, the quarter, the half-year, year, and 18 months? So that's how I keep things focused for myself. Mm-hmm. And I believe those are very helpful things, again, no matter what profession you're in.
So, Dean, part of why I'm so excited that you're here, and if the engineer listening is like, this guy's in sales, I'm an engineer, you know, why are we in this conversation? But I'm a big believer in coaching engineers that part of the problem is we over-index in the left brain analytical, you know, problem-solving strengths that we flex those muscles in school and grad school and everything that we do at work. And a lot of times the real barriers to career growth are in these other parts of our life. It's in the communication skills. It's in the ability to influence and create a followership as a leader in the organization. And when I think of those things, I think of sales.
Right.
And so for the person listening, you know, why can an engineer, why should an engineer pay any attention to a conversation coming from the sales perspective to connect the dots for us?
Well, I think we're all in sales and to all in varying degrees. I also think the world has changed dramatically where all departments, all functions need to know what other departments are doing. There used to be a day when I first got into business, there was the sales department here, there was engineering here, manufacturing here, marketing over here, and no one spoke to each other. And everybody, it was the old line, we were all in silos.
Right.
And finance did their thing, and everybody had their own mission. The companies that are most successful, the companies that you see on the best places to work lists, are the ones where engineers understand what salespeople are doing. Finance people understand what marketers are doing. They may not agree on everything all the time, and that's good and that's healthy, but they understand. So as an engineer or as a marketer, you need to know that what the customer wants. As an engineer, as a marketer, our end result is to solve something for the customers that we work with. And the way you have to be able to do that is understand what everybody's job functions are and how we can collaborate and work as a team. So it is communicating. It is being able to influence and show the best path to find the successful route for providing a solution to the customers and clients we work with.
So if I'm an engineer and I'm in sales, how does that actually look day to day, Dean? Where would you say, here's a moment of sales, here's a moment of, like, where would I be applying that sales mindset in my day-to-day career?
Sometimes we overthink what sales is all about. You know, the perception of sales is Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross going, always be closing, or the Wolf of Wall Street, which, I can't stand those, perceptions. Sales is communicating.
Yes.
And the best salespeople are good listeners. And so the best marketers are good listeners. The best engineers are good listeners. What do we need to do to solve a problem? So it's asking good questions. Salespeople ask good questions. They're curious. They listen. They care. They solve problems. And especially in this day and age, it's then the salesperson is the air traffic controller for bringing all these departments together to, again, to work with the customer and the end user.
I think this is really important for the engineer listening. Like, you do not accomplish anything in your organization alone. And to get the buy-in for your idea, to influence that procurement person to help you with a supplier who's lagging on your project, to help the marketing team understand the constraints around the design and the timelines and these, like, all of those interactions are moments where you can apply what Dean just described. Those are selling interactions. It's not about, the leads are weak from the movie.
Right.
You know, try to close transactions with dollars.
Yeah.
It's transactions with needs to move the project to the finish line for your customer. And so if somebody wants to strengthen this skill set, this sales skill set, but not in a, I want to go switch career paths, but I'm an engineer and I want to strengthen this, Dean, where would you recommend somebody to begin?
When was the last time you had a coffee or a lunch or a video call or a telephone call with a salesperson and just talk what they're hearing in the marketplace? It starts with communication and it starts with this basic interaction. And it goes both ways. there used to be the old squabble of sales and marketing not working together. And there were always the squabbles of who's doing what job it is. And a lot of it, the root of it is we never understood what they did for a living, both sides. So I don't understand what engineers do, and you don't understand what salespeople do. Well, Zach, let's have a coffee and talk about it. What are the main obstacles and opportunities you're finding in your job? And what are you seeing? And you should be asking the same thing of me. What are you hearing in the marketplace, Dean? What are buyers telling you? What are they saying about our company? What is the competition saying about our company? You can learn so much in a half an hour by just communicating.
I think this is brilliant. And I hear way too often that people don't book a conversation like that because A, they don't want to bother somebody,
right,
or B, they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Engineers are out there, oh, that sounds great, Dean, but I don't know how to have that coffee chat. Can you just make it simple for us, Dean?
It's asking, what are you seeing in the marketplace? What are you hearing? Yeah. What is the toughest part of your job, Zach, as an engineer? What are you finding? What are the obstacles you're hearing in the business that drive you crazy? Dean, how's business out there? What are you hearing? How has it changed from when you first got into business? Just basic conversation.
Yeah.
Think of it as talking with your neighbor or talking with a relative, at Thanksgiving. It's what are the best parts of your job? And believe me, salespeople or engineers or marketers, we're happy to tell you.
That's right. So grab one or two of these questions Dean just described. Mm-hmm. Start the conversation and then just listen.
Yeah.
Listen and get curious. Engineers, we're naturally curious. So just be yourself in that way. Be curious, listen, ask questions, and enjoy it. Don't put this pressure on yourself to have a certain thing. So I think this is an awesome strategy. Every engineer listening needs to book a coffee date, virtual or face-to-face, with a salesperson today. Don't miss the opportunity. You listen to this right now. Pause the podcast and go invite somebody right now.
That's great advice that you just gave, because sometimes we think of this, oh, I got to call 20 people. No. First, find one. Just start with the first person. It's like networking. We think of networking. We got to meet 50 people. No. What you're trying to do is just meet one person, connect with one person to say, you know what? I'm trying to learn a little bit more about the sales operation and what you're experiencing with your job and in the marketplace. What is your impression of the engineering department? What are you hearing? And believe me, you'll find out a lot that will surprise you, but it's with one person. Then go from there.
I love it. Start with one person. Mm-hmm. One leads to two, leads to three, but keep it simple. Back keep to that simple. Very beginning, Dean's philosophy, simple principles and values.
Yeah.
So Dean, you had incredible success making it a senior vice president there at Wiley. And one of the things that I work with engineers on is mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the mindset that we need to bring foundationally that we can then apply skills and tactics and strategies on top of? And I'd love to hear your perspective when someone is shifting in their career from an individual contributor role, somewhere where I'm the kind of the A player, the person getting all the work done, and then I move into a manager position. I've got a team underneath me for the first time, but as one of those big transitions in our careers. And then maybe the next one, even to like director or VP, as another big shift in the scope and responsibility. At either of those points, I'm curious for you, what would be the mindsets that changed or the things you had to develop to be successful as you moved up that ladder?
It's realizing it's keeping your ego in check. And sometimes when people get promoted, it's like, oh, I got to act this way. I got to do this. I have to manage. You know, leadership is helping guide people. It is not directing people. And these are basic lessons. Again, you can have 4 years of getting an MBA, you get an advanced degree in business and leadership and management. But at the end of the day, it's how you're working across the table with somebody to help them do their job better. And it's recognizing that, you know what? Yes, you got promoted, but you're not the greatest thing in the world. You have things to learn too. And it's working as a team to be successful. You know, some of the most difficult, so to speak, leaders are ones that never listen. It goes back to the basics of sales again, listening to your teams. And it's, you get promoted. Well, there's a learning curve. You're not going to figure it out again in the first 30 days. So it's listening and finding out what the pain points are of the team that if you're managing. And it's asking a lot of questions again. It goes back to all these basic principles.
Guide, direct. You drew a really interesting distinction there. And I want to unpack that a little bit. What's the difference between guiding somebody on your team and directing them? I mean, it's called being a director, right? Isn't that my goal? Yeah. So help me understand that.
It's a lousy term, right? It's like when you direct somebody, are you really directing or telling them what to do? To me, it almost has a negative term. No one wants to be told what to do. What we want to be told is this is the opportunity for us. And here's the route that we can look at to go to. So explore this avenue, explore this approach, and come back to me with what you've learned. When you direct, you're saying, do this, and it has to be done this way. What you want, going back to the word collaboration, and where people feel that they're part of that team and part of that development and part of that growth. You know, one of the things I've learned over the past few years, and when I worked in the corporate world, I was focused on the companies that I worked with. And now as I do coaching and as I work with a lot of people in different industries, unfortunately, I'm finding that there are a lot of managers, but very few leaders and the best leaders. And again, it goes back to those companies that are on the best places to work lists. The leaders enable, they show the path, but they let people do it. And it's very clear the companies that are run well and the companies where people feel like they're confined to a route that they have to go on. It's a learning curve for everybody when you get those new positions and you don't figure it out in the first month.
We keep coming back. It's such a power. I mean, and honestly, the engineering ego is such, like, the intelligence can be this barrier to hearing what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I just repeat it again and again. It's okay to not have it all figured out in the first 30 days. Yes. In that new job at that next level. And I think that's so important. So courage, you mentioned that word a couple times as we've talked today, and this is AWACO, the oasis of courage. And it's my favorite word. I love it. Yeah. And I'm curious, Dean, what is it for you that has helped you to strengthen your own courage over the years?
Well, again, I've been through some successful times. I've had some great years. You know, I mean, when in the publishing industry, the industry exploded there. I mean, it just did fantastic when independent bookstores and Barnes and Noble and Borders and Amazon was. And so I had a lot of fun. The courage comes when the wave shifts and the marketplace shifts. So how do you manage and lead during situations like that? You know, we're all great when the business is running on all cylinders, but I think the best leaders come out and you develop your courage is during the difficult times and how you manage and lead. So again, I'm dating myself a little bit, but you go back again to 2001 with the unfortunate tragedies of 9/11 and how the world changed then. 2008, for me, was probably the biggest changer because the big financial crisis and industries all shifted. Mm-hmm. And then in the early 2010s, the publishing industry really dramatically changed because there was consolidation and bookstores shrank. And so my biggest courage and development was having the greatest job in the world and leading these great sales teams. And then all of a sudden the world changed and business changed. And I had to do reconfiguration and restructuring and reorganizing. So it's the courage of business, family, of people I've hired and managed. And unfortunately I had to let people go. So courage is, how do you do that with compassion and care as best you can? And it's not easy, but those are the great lessons. It's easy to look great when everybody's hitting home runs, or their team is winning, or your company's got 10% revenue increases. How do you manage and lead when the market has shifted? And I think that's where true courage comes in.
Some people listening may have had those exact situations where they had to make tough calls in the business in the last year. Maybe they were in a leadership position in 2008-09, same time you're talking about. Others, Dean, have been on the receiving end of those decisions. And it's hard to believe that anybody in those vice president roles who's just cutting people has any sense of heart around family and the values, et cetera. And I know you do. And you were in that space. Just as much as you're able, without sharing anything that's confidential, tell us about those decisions. What was that actually like for you to have to face the reality of the business clashing in a way with your core value of loving these people and this amazing team and their families and their livelihoods and having to let people go? What was that like?
This is probably a discussion you could have for a multiple number of podcasts is how companies manage these things. And the first thing is there needs to be training for this also of how you hire and how you let people go. And most, again, in every department, engineers, marketing, sales, we all rely too much on human resources. We all need to have the training in how you hire properly and how you let people go with dignity and respect. And I was, it's a very difficult thing when you have to sit across the table from somebody and say, I know I hired you, but the business has changed. And unfortunately, your job is no longer part of our future. And that's really painful. And I did that and do that a lot, doing it just like I am now. And you learn how you look right in somebody's eyes and say, I'm sorry, but it's not working. You know, I wrote recently about family and team and organizations. And I worked with, I think, were good families at companies. But at the end of the day, it is a business. Mm-hmm. And whether you're a publicly traded company, like where you used to work at Whirlpool, you're reporting to shareholders and you have obligations to your shareholders. And if you're privately held and you have investors, angels investors, you have obligations to them to produce a profit and revenue. And at the end of the day, it is a business, which means tough decisions have to be made. That being said, at this stage of my career, 6 years ago, I said, you know what? This is too much pain for me. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm a positive person. I don't want to continue to have to restructure, reorganize, let people go. That's why I left that great job that I had for many years, is to do something different.
Yeah.
So even I'm saying, you know what? It was too much for me.
It's tough. Yeah. You know, you said something I think is really important, that we rely too much on HR for this stuff.
Yeah.
So for the engineer listening to this at whatever level, if you're an IC, if you're a manager, if you're a director, VP, it doesn't matter. The reality is we need to take full responsibility for our own readiness and capability to lead. And that includes hiring, but also letting people go with respect, dignity, and in a way like Dean just described. And I think sometimes we want to pass the buck on that.
Even in the hiring process, I mean, we've all interviewed for jobs, right? And then you get ghosted, or you never hear from anybody. And it's the hiring manager who left you hanging, not the HR person. It's somebody you might have interviewed. I might have interviewed with you, Zach, or you interview with me, and all of a sudden, whatever happened to Zach? It's basic principles of dignity and respect where you call somebody up or write them a note and say, you know, and I'm sorry it didn't work out, we're going elsewhere. But when, you know, we've all heard those stories. I applied for the job and I never heard. Wow. Remember, I never forget those people who did that, you know. Yeah, so I'd rather be known as, you know what, Zach actually had the dignity to call me up and say, Dean, you know what, you were good, possible for the position, but it didn't work out. We had to go a different route. Zach, thanks so much for taking 100%. A deep breath and doing the right thing.
Yes. Yeah. So please, if you're listening to this, take note. Do not pass the responsibility for your own team. If you're a hiring manager, if you're a director, VP, you're hiring. Yeah, that third party recruiter, that HR talent acquisition person who's supporting you. Okay, it's your team. You're responsible for the communication the way Dean just described. And you know, I tell my clients in coaching, how we do anything is how we do everything. And that's when you don't take responsibility there, it sends a signal to all of those people that you're interacting with on how you're going to show up in other moments, and it's going to reflect on your team in a way that you don't want.
Absolutely.
So please take Dean's counsel there and take responsibility. Hey, we can't go through all this and not talk about books for just a moment. And all of your years in the publishing industry and just so much experience. I'm a book lover. Right. I've got to have the hard copy still. Right. I love the smell of the pages. Yeah. I'm that guy. But I'm curious, Dean, what you said, you sort of stumbled almost into the book industry. You were thinking about broadcasting and then end up there and then spent your whole career in it. So did you have a passion for books, or what was it about publishing that kept you hooked for so many years?
Well, I've always enjoyed reading. I always enjoy books. I still buy a lot of books. And my theory is, or my belief is, if for $16, $18, or if you want an ebook version, $10, if you can get two tidbits of information or guidance out of the book, then it's worth the investment. It's a very inexpensive investment. And so I actually was a textbook salesperson. I worked in, again, upstate New York, called on Rochester Institute of Technology to community colleges in upstate New York, and a lot of technical schools, engineering schools. I didn't have an engineering background. I didn't have a chemical engineering background. The basics of sales is that you're never going to learn more than the person you're selling to. So you try to figure out the key points that they need to help them, again, solve a problem. So I sold textbooks for Prentice Hall, which later became Pearson, big engineering company. Again, I enjoyed it. I love working with people. And then I worked with Simon & Schuster, big trade book publishing company.
Totally.
And fun places. And then it just, you know what it is? You get on a path and they say, Dean, you worked 22 years at Wiley. Well, I always felt that the company was changing and growing, which it did. And through acquisitions. And so I just stayed in the industry for many, many years and loved it and still do.
Dean, are there any must read books that you would say engineers listening, you got to hit these couple, this is your top five, or any that just pop in, everybody needs to read?
You know what? You can go on bestseller lists and you pick some. I always talk about The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. It sold millions of copies. It'll take you about an hour to read. And it talks about how we work with teams and how we work with individuals within companies and how we do, like, just like what you and I are doing right now, Zach, being honest, being open and listening to others. So five dysfunctions of a team. I'm a big believer in the leadership challenge by Jim Kouzis and Barry Posner, where they talk about modeling the way, encouraging the heart, which is a very important thing to me of how we motivate people. Again, for any department, any industry. I also like books that talk about, you know, and it's like, well, it's not that glamorous, but how to be better organized, how to do things more efficiently, getting things done, which has been around for years, that book. How to win friends and influence people, which has been around for 50 years. You know, there are books on my shelf that have been around for decades. The Power of Positive Thinking. You know, it's like, this is, again, what I believe in. And so it's, you know, as I say, find any book. Look at the bestseller lists at your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, whoever it might be, and make that investment. And I think it's well worth it.
Yeah. My coach says, Zach, you can skip lunch, but never skip your reading. Yeah. And I really believe in that and agree 100%. So, and I'll tell you, if you read like an engineer, then five dysfunctions of a team takes 2 hours instead of 1 hour to read through. So keep that in mind. Man, Dean, this is amazing. I want to be respectful of your time. And the thing that I share with all of my clients, and I mentioned to you, it's so true in coaching, the work you do, it's true in engineering, that questions lead and answers follow. Right. And we want to ask great questions in our lives to guide us and take us where we want to go. So for the engineer listening to this conversation, they want to be happy, they want to be fulfilled, they want to achieve success. What is the best question to lead them with?
What steps are you taking to make that happen? You know, we talk about things about, I want to be successful, I want to do well, but so what are you doing about it? Are you complaining about it? Are you talking about it? Or you have an action plan? And again, it goes back to what I always believe is, and I talk about this with the people I coach, is what plan or what strategies do you have to make that happen? Zach, I want to be happier. Okay, well, how are you going to do it? Are you taking time to spend with your family? Are you taking time to get away from work, get away from the engineering and learning something new? Doing something new, opening horizons to new things, opening your mind outside of the sales world or the engineering world or the marketing world. So it is, it's an action plan. What are the three things that you're going to do over the next month to help you get on a path for being happier, more successful, and more fulfilled?
Amazing. What steps am I taking to do something about it? Three steps. Don't leave this recording when you listen to it without taking 5 minutes to answer that question right now. Dean, I know people are going to want to hear more from you and get connected to you. Just tell us, where's the best place for the listener to go out and connect with Dean Carroll?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn every day. And when we all think of LinkedIn, we may think of LinkedIn of 4 or 5 years ago or 6 years ago. That was the place where you looked for a job or you put your resume, so to speak. The communication that's going on and the things I learned on LinkedIn is really fantastic. And I post ideas and concepts a couple of times a week. And it's amazing the feedback and the give and take that I'm getting from people from all different professions. So Dean Carroll at LinkedIn, please reach out to connect with me. And I hope we can communicate. I would love that.
I had the incredible honor of meeting Dean through LinkedIn and can testify that it is an incredibly powerful platform. I hope everybody will go out, follow your content, check that out. And a reminder again, Mastering the Basics, this book that Dean put out is absolutely fantastic. It's like a handbook of just simple, practical, actionable steps that you can take across every area of your career to move forward. Read a section a day and just put it into practice immediately. It's so simple, so easy. So go get a copy of Dean's book on Amazon or your local bookseller and grab that as well. Dean, thank you so much for your time today. This has been amazing.
Zach, it's great to be with you. I love watching your work. You're doing some terrific things, and it's been a pleasure to get to know you more. And I'm really impressed with the steps you're doing in advancing the growth for the market and the people you work with.
Thanks, Dean. Hey, let's do this again sometime.
You bet.
Hello again, my friend. It's Zach White, your host and your coach for this wild ride called career growth. I hope you're enjoying the show. By the way, if you feel like an overworked and undervalued engineer who wants to find better balance and get paid what you're worth, I want you to get started today by checking out the Productivity Power Laws, my free video short course at productivitypowerlaws.com. If you're new here or you haven't done this yet, this is definitely the first step to get started in applying these principles to your life. So head over to productivitypowerlaws.com and grab your free gift from me and the team at Awaco. Okay, engineer, you got to stick with me for just a couple minutes to debrief that conversation with Dean Carroll. I was shocked when Dean got out his wallet and showed me on the video, which if you're listening to the podcast audio, you didn't see this, but you could find it on YouTube with the video of this interview. Dean got out that note from decades ago that he's been carrying with him this entire time. Come on, Dean, make it. Ah, I love that. I love that. And, you know, I've got a few things in my life that I've had a long time, but nothing quite like that, not for that long. You know, I'm only 35. So, you know, Dean's had that in his pocket as long as I've been alive, which is absolutely awesome. And I would encourage you not to underestimate the power and the value of a simple, courageous affirmation that you hold and keep with you all the time. For me, I have in my pocket a small trinket, if you will. It's a cross made from the wood of an olive tree from the Holy Land in Israel, and on it engraved is the word courage. And that's for me exactly what keeps me grounded and reminded every single day when I feel for my car keys in my pocket and my fingers touch that cross. And you know, when I'm emptying my pockets at the end of the day and I put it in the little basket by my bedside table, I see that word, courage. And it reminds me of who I am, why I'm here, and why this effort and this struggle in life is worth it. But what is it for you? What is that single affirmation, that single phrase that you need to carry with you? And maybe it's time to carry it with you literally, physically, in your pocket, in your wallet. You know, make that happen. Maybe it's something you just write down and put on your bedside table, or you put it on the background of your computer desktop. But this is a really awesome reminder, and I love to see a leader with the success that Dean has had showing us that it's these simple little things. Dean's philosophy, which again, if you haven't already purchased a copy of Dean's book, Mastering the Basics, go get one. But right at the beginning of the book on page 17 is one page of Dean's philosophy. And I just want to read to you all 10 of these. We talked about number 4 in our discussion, but listen to these. Number 1, be good to people. Number 2, smile and say hello. 3, have a good work ethic. 4, send thank you notes. Mom, I'm so proud to know that you have taught me that from the beginning. Send thank you notes. Number 5, always be learning. Lifelong learning. 6, confidence. Believe in yourself. 7, integrity and character. 8, be authentic, be genuine. 9, planning and preparation. And 10, know your priorities. Family comes first and focus on what really matters. You know, the Lifestyle Engineering Blueprint, the model that we use in our coaching programs here at Awaco, and all the work I do in helping engineers to reach the next level in their career and in their life, to reach their dreams, to reach their goals. It has this same key word, priority. One of the 4 pillars is priority, and another is purpose. Purpose and priority together capture what Dean's talking about here in number 10. Know your priorities, family comes first, and focus on what really matters. I love this, and Dean has lived this for decades. So what else can we take away from this conversation? And remember, we want to put this into practice. Knowledge is worthless if you don't take action on what you know. So what are we going to do with everything that Dean just brought to us? For one, Remember, we are all in sales. We are all in sales. Sales, coaching, leadership, all of these words have one thing in common, and it's influencing other people to take action toward the vision and goals of whatever it is we're talking about. If that's a project, if that's, you know, you getting a promotion or a raise, if that's you interviewing for landing a new position with a new company, changing industries, shoot, starting your own company, if that's what you decide to do. A lot of our clients want to take their decades of engineering experience and go into the startup world. Whatever that is for you, know that we are all in sales. It's about communication. It's about great listening. And if you want to take action on this, Dean gave us a couple of key tips. Number one, book that coffee, that lunch with a salesperson in your organization or in your network right now. Get that time and start asking questions. Start getting curious, not only about the customers and the business that you're in, but also about sales as a practice, as a discipline, as a set of skills and behaviors. Ask about how they approach professional development in their sales profession. Ask them about how they learned to influence and move people to action, because those skills are absolutely crucial as you move up in your company, as you go from IC to manager to director to VP. Each step up is going to demand more from this skill set. So start putting your development plan together and begin taking action. Dean gave us a few book recommendations. I'll recap those for you. The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Leadership Challenge, Getting Things Done, How to Win Friends and Influence People, The Power of Positive Thinking. We'll put those in the show notes, but these are classics. And the one thing that I noticed with what Dean shared, and I hear this a lot, and I believe this myself, there are always great new books coming out. And I love reading a new release in business, leadership, entrepreneurship, economics, philosophy, you name it. But there's something to be said about a book that's been around for 10, 20, 50, or even 100 plus years that is still in print and still selling copy after copy after copy in every language around the world. And these are the kinds of books in that category. Books that have proven to be valuable over the test of time. They're not about hype. They're not about fads. They're not about trends. They're about timeless principles of success and fulfillment and happiness and how to live. I strongly encourage you to always include books in that category on your reading list. Don't just read blogs or just read publications that are right now a new release, because there's something about that timeless literature that's going to really help you to understand what are the principles that have endured. Those are the things that help us to really drive success at the next level. Of course, we need a mix. Right? New technologies, new approaches, new strategies are important, but we want to mix that with timeless principles, timeless strategies as we go. One more thing. Dean's parting question resonates perfectly with my heart of this idea of we must implement what we know. You know, what is the question to leave us with? And Dean's answer, well, what are you doing about it? What steps are you taking to change your life? And one of those could be listening to this podcast. And it's awesome to have you here in the Oeko family, part of what we're doing, getting new ideas, new insights. But again, I cannot say this enough. If you do not have a plan of action, if you are not stepping out of your comfort zone to try on new behaviors, to experiment with a new approach, to change your mindset and break free from the mindsets that are holding you back, and understanding your blind spots and getting the help from a coach, from a mentor, from a peer on what you need to do to take action and move forward, then this whole investment of time listening to this podcast or reading books or anything that you're doing You're not going to turn it into value in your life without action. And it forces you to get out of your comfort zone because there is no growth in the comfort zone. So ask yourself today, what steps are you taking to do something about it? You want to be happier? What are you doing about it? You want to get promoted? What are you doing about it? You want to change industries? What are you doing about it? You want to move from engineering into marketing? What are you doing about it? Part of your doing needs to be asking for help. Don't go alone. Dean pointed that out over and over in his conversation with us today. You have to achieve success as part of the team. And that team in your life is not just the people that you work with, it's also the team who are speaking into your situation and helping you to move forward. So if you don't have that, go get it. It doesn't have to be me and Awaco. It's just make sure you have something planned. But if you don't have a coach, if you need help, that's what we're here for. We'd love to support you. All right. Enough of the soapbox on taking action. This has been fantastic. I love you all so much. Keep getting out there, getting out of your comfort zone, building courage in your life toward the career and the life that you dream about. Let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the resource hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.